Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World, episode 138. I'm Christian Jordan, and joining me today we have Quinn Kwan, who is the head of Web3 strategy at DLab Games. How's it going, Quinn?
Good, good. Hello, John. How's it going?
Great to have you on the show. Yeah, good, good. Cool. So let's start at the beginning. DLab Games have been going for a while, but maybe a little less familiar to some people in the audience than some of the other sort of companies we've covered recently. So let's just start. Can you talk a bit about DLab Games? You know, who are you? Where have you started from? What's the background there?
Yeah, sounds good. So DLab Games here is a South Korean gaming studio based in Korea. And we are actually a branch off of our parent company, which is 433, which might be more familiar to some of our users, some of our listeners here. 433 has been developing mobile games for more than 13 years. We've had a lot of blockbuster games, both in Korea and worldwide. We developed a lot of games for Korea in the beginning, but then we moved on towards a more global audience-based game. And now, I guess, our next step in gaming would be blockchain. So we've been developing three different blockchain games for the past 2 years, and we're pretty close to launch for our first game, which is Rumble Racing Star.
Yes, we'll go through games in a bit of detail. But I guess just to, as you say, the parent company is called 433, and you know, South Korean, the games industry is really well known for you know, a lot of sort of kind of hardcore sort of free to play mobile games, and 433 is well known for that sort of stuff. But I don't know how much you can talk about this because it's the parent company. But why did they decide that they sort of wanted to do blockchain, and why did they sort of wanted to have sort of a sort of separate division to do that? Because we've seen with some particularly Korean companies, they just say we're doing blockchain and we're not, you know, we're not setting up a new company. We're just sort of doing that within our sort of current processes. So is there any thinking around why DLabs is separate as a company from 433?
Yeah, I think there's a two-part question in there. So like why DLabs went into the blockchain industry, and then why it's a separate company. I think the second question is easier to answer, so I'll kind of start with that. So the separate entity is probably because of legal issues here in Korea. 433 is 100% like Korea-based company, but legal issues with if we do like want to service games, and I think there are some legal issues that I'm not the expert on, which is why we made a subsidiary that focuses on blockchain games. But the second part, I can kind of explore more into why we decided to delve into the blockchain space. So our CEO, James Junmo Kwon, he used to be the CEO of Nexon. I'm sure Nexon is a more familiar name to everyone.
Yes.
And then after that, he moved on to create this company, 433. And his background is really interesting in that he used to be a professor in psychology. And looking into the blockchain space, I think 433, we started looking into the blockchain space around 2 years ago when we started development for a blockchain. And what was really interesting and what I've always talked with James about this, but it's the psychology that blockchain can bring to games. Even games, like building games, it's really all about psychology and how to make players have fun, and how to really motivate the players to be engaged, how you can really drive that engagement within the game and like creating this ecosystem. But with blockchain as well, there's like two different psychologies that take into place that we see as really powerful in terms of gaming. So the first thing is being able to really own your assets. I think that's really powerful. So if you actually like spend your time and energy and money into like playing this game, making engaging in this game, and you never know what will happen to your assets, and there's no really outside monetary value. But blockchain kind of solves that problem by tying that into an actual like outside economy and being able to own that asset, know that it's verifiable on the blockchain. And we see that psychology as a really powerful thing. And the second thing, which is more important, is the interest alignment aspect that blockchain can really bring. So both in terms of technology and like the ethos, we see that blockchain is really a lot about community and like community-driven initiatives. And actually, in the game industry, it's been that gamers have been monetized, and the game development company has always been trying to monetize these gamers. But in the Web3 space, there's a lot of mechanics in place that doesn't really make it so that this has to be true. So in terms of engagement, either it's by playing, by creating content, by spreading this content out, the community members can actually go out and expand this game's ecosystem, this game's life cycle. And by that, the game can live on for a longer time and actually create more revenue. And with blockchain and that whole system that blockchain like technology can bring, there we can create different ways to share this revenue and have the same interest alignment with the gamers, the creators, the content creators, with the game development company. So these are the two kind of psychological things that we see in blockchain that is really powerful when it's tied to gaming. So I guess that's the main reason why we entered into this blockchain space. We really see the potential that this ethos and this technology can really bring to gaming.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of psychology, so I'm glad you mentioned that. It's not something I think that many blockchain games companies. I mean, I think it's inherent in sort of the idea, but I think it's something that maybe not all companies maybe think about directly. So it's good to hear that you sort of guys are sort of putting that sort of center, rather than obviously everyone thinking about financial aspects of it. But I think it is that sort of psychology of owning stuff and then being more engaged in what's going on, and then how that feeds through, as you say, into sort of almost like co-ownership of between the developer and the community, and that's I think something very different than we haven't seen before. Good. So we've talked about, I guess, some generalized sort of ideas about why you guys are doing this. Let's get into some games now. So you mentioned the first one and the one that's sort of most developed at the moment. So Rumble Racing Star. What can you tell us about that?
So Rumble Racing Star. Right now, that's the first game that is to be launched by D Labs Games. So basically, it's a lawnmower themed kart racing game. Very casual party type game. Mm. It's currently actually developed by one of the main producers of Crazy Racing Kart Rider, and James knew the producer back from his Nexon days. So we're bringing him in, and a lot of his team members also building this game. And this game is really, I guess it connects to the whole idea about community and participation, because what we're really trying to do with Rumble Racing Star is have this platform where communities can come in and play amongst each other and between each other and really grow that ecosystem in that way. So one thing we're doing is we have partnered with a lot of PFP NFT projects, and we're talking really closely with those communities and the foundations of these projects to bring in their community, because we see they're one of the strongest, tightest-knit communities in the Web3 space. And if they can bring on their members and compete against each other, like imagine Bored Ape Yacht Club members versus Galvantown kind of tournament. So those are some things that we are doing. And we're really focusing on how we can get a lot of different communities involved in racing and competing against each other. Rumble Racing Star, right? Mm-hmm.
So I was going to just go. How have you found sort of reaching out to some of those sort of PFP projects? Have you found that it's something they've been sort of quite open to? Or, I mean, obviously sort of Bored Apes is doing its own thing. I don't know so much about Goblin Town. I don't think they're making games or anything. So is that something, when you go to Goblin Town, say, for example, or I think you're doing stuff with Utes as well, you know, and you say, come into our game, are they like, what's that all about? Or are they like, yeah that sounds fun?
It really depends on the community and like what kind of members are part of the community. For example, I mean, when we were creating these partnerships, we've talked to a lot of projects, and some projects were less into gaming. Their focus was elsewhere. In terms of Goblin Town, who's one of our closest partners, they were actually envisioning some like kart racing game when we started talking to them. So actually, like, really, like, everything lined up really perfectly. They were so into creating this game. They created a customized goblinary for us that we put in the game. And they've been one of the most active partners for us. So it really depends on the project and like what direction they want to go. We definitely want to have involve a lot more community members involved. And that will come with closed beta tests and our game starting to launch. So we'll definitely see the feedback from the community a lot more when we do that.
And is the, obviously, you know, there's the tying thing, so there's a community that owns NFTs that, you know, maybe don't have a lot of utility. But then I guess from your point of view, you have to, I'm presuming this is the case, that if I have a Goblin Town NFT, I can bring that exact one into the game. So you have to, I guess, do some building around that, or how do you sort of deal with that sort of, because people always talk about interoperability is a great idea, but actually really hard to do in practice. So how do you sort of deal with those issues?
Yeah, I agree. Because our game is 3D fully on like built on Unity, things like that, it's really difficult to actually bring in every single collection, every single NFT in that collection. So our approach, how we decided to approach it, is we have a representative character from the collection in the game. And the holders themselves, we have kind of an interoperability feature in that if you connect your wallet to our game account, then it'll read whether you have a partner project PFP NFT in your wallet, and then you'll be able to use that to decorate. So you can use it as your profile picture, obviously, and then you can put it on your flag that goes in the back of the cart. And then you can also put it on your license plate, use it as a decal. There's a lot of use cases we are thinking about this. So those are the different ways we are actually working out around interoperability.
And how many, do you think there's a diminishing returns thing? Like, you know, I don't know how many you've got involved. Does it sort of, is it the sort of thing that works better for 20 partners and then stops to work when you have like 100 or something? I mean, you're probably not at that stage yet, but what's your sort of thinking around, you know, where you sort of draw the limits there, I suppose, partly in terms of how long it takes you to do those sort of, you know, bespoke integrations?
Yeah, we have our partners that we're launching with first, and we're kind of going to see how that goes, because PFP integration is not like everything our game has to offer. We have our own characters. We have many different modes. We're reaching out to a lot of different communities, even outside these PFP communities. So we have our fixed launch partners, and we're going to be adding more characters as needed after launch. So right now we're not looking to expand to like 20 different PFP projects. We're actually more focused on building different game modes and racing modes and doing all the quality assurance before the game goes out and make sure that everything is set in place and really fun for everyone, even if you don't own a PFP.
And so just to sort of finish off on where you are in development, you did a closed, I think it was a closed alpha that I played, that we all enjoyed as a family actually playing that one. And you have a summertime sort of event coming on, I think it's fairly soon. But what, in terms of sort of where you are for the going through to sort of a formal release, what's the sort of the roadmap on that?
So right now we are planning, so we are looking at our next step to be the closed beta test. This is open to everybody. The registration link went up last week, so we are getting a lot of registrations right now. So and then the closed beta test will actually start, and you'll be able to start playing the game August 1st to August 7th. And the theme is summer camp. It's going to be really fun. We have a lot of themed activities, themed tournaments, themed races going on in the meantime. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we want to test out everything as thoroughly as possible And then after closed beta test is done, we're looking towards open beta. So we're going to get all the feedback we got from closed beta test and then do all the fixes necessary. And open beta, we're looking at around October to launch.
Okay, cool, good. Good to get some dates around that. Okay, so the first of three games, Dan, as you say, Rumble Racing Star is the one that's sort of been is the more advanced than the one you've spoken about the most, but you have started to talk about the other two. I don't know how much you want to go into detail about that, but there's Space Frontier, which is obviously, as you can tell from the name, a very different sort of game. And each of your games, I think, is sort of you know, genre wise and maybe audience wise quite different. So what can you tell us about Space Frontier?
Space Frontier, I'm also really excited for. It is really different from Rumble Racing Star. So it's a space themed survival and crafting MMORPG. So it's a lot of surviving, like on the planet, and then building and crafting different items and materials. And then there is also like a personal planet that is involved. So you get to build things on your personal planet. You go to the public planets where you raid monsters, get materials. You can also build temporary structures there. It's more of a like open type world where certain number of participants will be able to come in and play together. So that game is currently in development, and we also have a really skilled producer working on this game. He used to be a producer for RF Mobile. So that game I'm really excited for. The graphics look amazing. We're building on Unity, but it looks like Unreal quality to me, at least. So I'm really excited for this game.
And when you say MMORPG, to me that immediately seems like, well, that's quite a big project. Those sort of things you don't do overnight. So is that more of a sort of a long-term sort of project? Or, I mean, what can you say anything about sort of timing around that?
Development timing-wise, we are actually, so the internal alpha, closed alpha, we're looking to do in August. But this is going to be internal, and then we're going to have a beta build in December. But launch timeline-wise, I think we're going to see how Rumble Racing goes, and if we want to focus more energy to Rumble Racing, we may delay the launch timeline, but right now, development timeline-wise, it's all bound to come within this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So we're pretty far in development in that one as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess the one that I think that I'm sort of, I'm not saying most interested in, but the one that sort of visually stands out for me, at least, is Metabolts, which I guess is what I might think of as a more if I heard a South Korean games company was making a blockchain game, Metabolts is maybe something that's certainly from a visual point of view I would think, well, yes, that's exactly what I would expect them to be doing. So can you tell us a bit about that one?
Yeah, of course. So Metabolts is a Japanese anime style character collection action RPG. So this is basically in this character collection genre, but we're trying to solve a lot of problems that this genre had in the past. We know it's a really popular genre and the art style is amazing. The characters are really amazing. But what we're trying to do is, in past character collection games, there has also been a lot of issues of centralization, where you grow a character, you really get attached to this character or this meta or your character build. And then the next meta, like the company decides to change it and then release a new character, which overpowers all your previous characters. And this is really a bad experience for the gamers who have like spent so much time and energy into like building and growing your character. So our approach is a little different in that with Metabolts, in that we really want the players to build a connection with the characters they're growing. So we've actually separated the characters from their skill and their ability. So we actually, for each character, we actually have a really diverse skill library where this new skill comes out. You don't have to replace this character. You just have to integrate this new skill, learn this new skill. And we really want to grow that tight-knit attachment to this character. So I think that's what that's really like unique about Metabolt. And our producer also is. Just to mention, I think our like with D-Labs, how we brought about all these games, we create games based on what the producer is best at and what they really want to build. So we really appreciate their whole idea and thought process and the world they're trying to build. So we want to maximize what kind of thing they can, like what kind of game they can produce and do the best in. So we brought in the best producers that James actually worked with in the past. And for Metabolt as well, our producer, he used to develop King's Raid, which is also a character collection action RPG. And with Metabolt, he knows all the ins and outs of character collection games, and we really want to change that and into something that is more sustainable and more fitting with our whole ethos as at D-Labs, integrating with Web3. So we're moving away from that centralized approach of, I guess, monetizing the users and having them replace their characters, and creating a more sustainable model with the character collection genre.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of interesting that you, for all those games, you sort of have mentioned, the producer and what they've worked on before, and that clearly sort of comes through generally in your the way you sort of present those projects, where you have like interviews specifically with those producers, who sort of explain their sort of background and what they're thinking about it, which I think again is, I mean, I'm not saying it's unique, but I think that sort of stands out. You don't necessarily see that from, I mean, not just blockchain games, but from many other games where they're sort of having like a sort of individual sort of talking about, you know, why they're making this game and what particular aspects. I mean, the Metabox is a good example there of just like, you know, a general genre problem and how they're trying to fix that and how blockchain plays into that. So I think that's sort of quite a strong sort of IP point that you guys are bringing up. So that's good to see. So we've spoken a bit about D-Labs, spoken a bit about the projects, but I guess they're, in blockchain, we sort of like to think, not just about interoperability, but you know, a normal game developer would have three projects and there'd be no sort of interaction between them. But you sort of, at a high level, have this thing called the D-Labs Games Pass, is that right? Adventure Pass. And that's an NFT, and that's sort of... like an overarching sort of NFT that acts as a pass through to all these games. So can you talk a little bit about the thinking behind having that NFT and what the sort of advantages are for people who are holding those?
So the D-Labs Adventure Pass we created as sort of for us as an entry point into the Web3 space, and for the holders, we really see that. We really want to bring these different genres of premium games to the Web3 space, and we definitely want to be able to give back to those who have supported us throughout the whole journey. So we created a VIP pass that is a game pass that will definitely like enhance the experience of playing these three games. And the holders of these passes will definitely get more benefits on the Web3 aspect of our games, as well as some Web2 just in-app purchase related aspect of our game. So we wanted to do a bit of community building before our game comes out and see like interest. And I guess the D-Labs Adventure Pass was one way that we started building this community that we have right now. And a lot of our community members have been really active in our past. So for the Rumble Racing Star private party, and right now for CBT as well, like a lot of people are excited for that. So we are really thankful for everyone in the community who has been there with us, I guess, after we minted out the Adventure Pass.
Cool, good. Sort of more generally, you know, you've been operating now for however many sort of months, but I guess it's sort of between a year. How do you find it? Because I guess as you sort of mentioned, there is this, as far as I understand it, there is this slightly weird situation in South Korea where there are laws around crypto in South Korea, which generally means blockchain games can't be released in South Korea, because South Korea also has a licensing model, nothing to do with blockchain. But if you really want to release games in South Korea, you have to go through a government agency to get them, to get a license. So we don't really have that in the same way in Europe or North America. So you have that sort of issue. So how are you sort of finding it as a South Korean company who, you know, it clearly has most of its employees in South Korea? You can't release your games officially in South Korea, so you have to go global. And then there's been all this other stuff going on in sort of crypto and blockchain, which hasn't been the easiest environment. So, you know, how have you sort of, has that sort of impacted you, or have you just sort of like, we're focusing on games, we're not really worrying about the outside? How do you, as sort of the head of Web3 strategy, sort of combine those sort of viewpoints?
Well, regarding not being able to publish the game in South Korea, I think that hasn't been too big of an issue for now, because well, with 433, like, they have a lot of experience with publishing games worldwide. And with Boxing Star, which was one of the biggest titles from 433, that was actually mainly targeted to, like, outside regions, outside of Korea. So that hasn't been too big of an issue for us yet. But within the blockchain space, we have definitely seen a lot of different things within the past 2 years, and it's been a ride, but we're still here and we're still making games, so I think that's what matters.
Yeah. No, I think probably a lot of people have a similar view, and I guess to some degree, you know, it's nice that you're a startup to a degree, but you're a startup from a bigger company, so you haven't got to have the whole you know, just starting up on your own, having to raise funding and all that thing, which other sort of companies have. So you're sort of a little bit help from that. I mean, do you worry, or not worry, but do you, when you're sort of planning around game launches and all this sort of stuff, do you think about the stuff like, you know, the SEC, what's happening there in the States? Does that sort of impact you, or the price of Bitcoin, does that ever play into what you're doing, or do you just go, we're making games and we think we're making great games and people are going to like that, doesn't really matter what the sort of macro situation is?
Oh, it does definitely affect us, because with NFTs and tokens all being affected, and we're also planning a lot of different things around those as well. So there are parts, and there have been parts, where our strategy internally had to change. Also with the PFP market being down recently, we're also looking back at our strategy around PFP NFTs, with our gaming NFTs, so in-game NFTs as well. There were a lot of different aspects where we had to tweak our approach. And with tokens as well, we're closely monitoring the SEC situation. So those all affect us, but not directly yet, because right now we haven't really launched yet. So we're just tweaking our strategy, like bits and pieces here and there, to depending on what's happening on the outside world. But I guess some things that are good is that the regulations are becoming more clear, which is good. So we know, like, what we cannot do, what we can do. So that part, I think we see as a positive sign.
Good. And sort of more generally, have you sort of been happy with the reaction, I guess, especially to Rumble Racing Stars? That's the one that's all you've been pushing the most. You think that's sort of resonating with an audience?
Yeah, I think everyone who's played Rumble Racing Star, they've given us, like, really great feedback. Everyone's enjoying the game a lot. So I think we had pretty good reception, and I'm pretty excited to see, like, with closed beta tests, once we get it out to a bigger audience, like, what kind of reception we'll get.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm pretty excited to see that.
Good. Well, it's good timing for the podcast then, if we're on the 1st of August for the next playable, for those who have signed up. Where is the best place for people who want to find out more? How should they, where should they look?
For to find out more about Rumble Racing Star and D-Labs, we have a Twitter account, both D-Labs Official and D-Labs RRS. And we also are updating a lot of different, like more recent updates on Discord. So if you want to join our Discord, you can find that on our website or on our Twitter. So those are the two main places that would be great to get the latest news.
Yeah, yeah. And if you really want to be a true fan, then the adventure pass is obviously available on marketplaces now. So you can show your fandom by getting one of those and getting in early to some of the activity there. Thank you very much, Quinn. That was really great to get the background there.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And thanks to you who are watching, listening, however you are consuming the podcast. Every episode, we're talking to the people who are building out this new way of playing games, which I personally think is fascinating and looking very much forward to the games D-Labs are doing as much as all the other games. We're in this really interesting period now, I think, for the next sort of 6 months to a year where a lot of product is coming out. So hopefully there'll be some really good experiences for us to play. So don't forget to subscribe and come back next time. See you then. Goodbye.